Translation. The Acharya Shankaranya was considered the 48th branch of the original tree. From him proceeded sub-branches known as Mukunda, Kashinath, and Rudra.
Do we have another? No, it's okay.
Do we have another book? Another copy? So I'll make a comment. So we see here the word. Okay, good. Upashaka, branches and sub-branches. So the theory that this, for example, that the Acharya is the initiator, and that at some point after his departure, then he goes on initiating disciples without being present, is not supported by this verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because we see that the sub-branches and sub-branches, disciples, grand disciples, this is the tradition, this is the system, that not that we make up of a theory that the spiritual master, the Acharya who's departed, is accepting disciples without being present, without them being brought before him, things like that. So I'd like someone to read the purport, nice, loud voice, maybe Krishna Dharma Prabhu. I may make comments along the way.
It is said that Shankararanya was the sannyas name of Srila Vishvarupa, who was the elder brother of Vishvambhava, the original name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shankararanya expired in 1432 Shakapta, AD 1510, at Shonapur, where there is a place of pilgrimage known as Pandarapura. This is referred to in the Madhya Lila, chapter 9, verses 299 and 300.
Yes, the elder brother went away and took sannyas, and then expired. Lord Chaitanya found out when he was on his tour. The former offspring or children of Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra were also expired very young, so this was quite a blow that he took sannyas. Mother Sachi even referred to this incident, that you're not going to take sannyas, to Lord Chaitanya, you're not going to take sannyas and leave me like Shankaranya or Vishwarup. So, but he was considered to be a incarnation of Balaram, expansion of Balaram. Please continue.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anupasya.
Where is that? I don't see that. I've got Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened a primary.
It says Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened a primary school in the house of Mukunda, or Mukunda Sanjay, and Mukunda's son, whose name was Purushottam, became the Lord's student. Kashinath arranged the marriage of Lord Chaitanya to his previous ashram, where his name was Vishvambhava.
So this Mukunda primary house, primary school, in the house of Mukunda or Mukunda Sanjay, and Mukunda's son, whose name was Purushottama, became the Lord's student. Okay.
Kashinath arranged the marriage of Lord Chaitanya Chaitanya in his previous ashram, where his name was Vishwambar. Kashinath induced the court pundit, Sanatan, to offer Vishwambar his daughter.
So the marriage arranger often made matches. They would go to the parents of two suitable candidates. Sometimes, like in the case of Garga Muni, the priest of the Yadu dynasty, he was also a very advanced astrologer and scholar and devotee. And he actually, we learned from Garga Samhita, that he arranged the marriage between Devaki and Vasudev by going to parents of both and convincing them that they were a perfect match for each other. So here we see Kashinath performing that service. Someone may say, well, how is it if Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He's getting married to somebody other than the Goddess of Fortune, but she's also an expansion of the Goddess of Fortune, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself into unlimited forms. So the Goddess of Fortune, the original Goddess of Fortune, Srimati Radharani or Lakshmi, expands into so many forms to serve the Lord. She's Shakti. Okay, continue.
In text 50 of the Gaura Ganapesh Pitika, it is mentioned that Kashinath was an incarnation of the Brahmin Kulaka, whom Satrajit sent to arrange the marriage of Krishna and Satyabhama. And in text 135, it is mentioned that Rudra, or Sri Rudra Ram Pandit, was formerly a friend of Lord Krishna's named Varutapa.
So Satrajit, he's also the father of Satyabhama. He had become, Satrajit was a worshipper of the sun god, and because of their friendship, he had received the jewel. He asked for the jewel, Shamantaka, and he got the jewel, and it was so bright that wherever he went, people thought that the sun god had come. And it also produced a large quantity of gold every day. And he became attached to the jewel. And although Krishna wanted the jewel to be given to Ugrasena, because on the principle that the best of everything should be offered to the king, but Satrajit wasn't favorable to that. And then one day, Prasena, the younger brother of Satrajit, took the jewel around his neck and went out riding on a horse to show off his opulence. But then he was killed by the lion. The lion killed both Prasena and the horse, and he took the jewel to his den or something like that. But then he was killed by Jambavan. Jambavan's one of the Chiranjibs. He's existing for a huge, very long period of time. Not only, it's the same Jambavan that was present during the time of Lord Ramachandra, and he was still present at the time of Lord Krishna, so that's 2 million years approximately. So anyway, Jambavan killed the lion, took the jewel, and let his child play with it in his cave. And even in Dwarka, rumors are abounding, because even in Krishna's own city, they started accusing that maybe Krishna stole the Shamaja, killed Prasena to steal the jewel. Krishna didn't like to be defamed in that way. So he went out with some respectable brahmanas to clear his name. And when they came to the cave, well, no, they saw that the horse had been killed and Prasena had been killed. Then they saw that the lion had been killed some distance. So it was becoming apparent that there was some other cause other than Krishna. Then Krishna traced it to the cave, Jambavan's cave, but the Brahmins were afraid to go in. So they were waiting outside. He went inside and fought with Jambavan for 28 days, if I'm not mistaken. The Brahmins thought some mishap had happened, and they went back. And then finally, Jambavan realized that the only one who has greater power than myself is Lord Ramachandra. So this person must be Lord Ramachandra. Then he surrendered. But surrender in words is not enough when you try to kill someone for 28 days. So he had to do something more than that. So he had a beautiful daughter of marriageable age, and he gave the daughter Jambavati and the jewel Shamantaka. That was his gift. So Lord Krishna took the two gems back to Dwarka. Everyone was delighted to see that he was not only not killed, but the Shamantaka jewel was recovered, and Lord Krishna had a beautiful new wife, Jambavati. So Jambavati was actually the second wife. First wife was Rukmini. Krishna's second wife was Jambavati, because he accepted her at that time in the cave, even though the marriage took place back in Dwarka, the official marriage. So then Satyajit, Krishna was so magnanimous, he gave the jewel back to him. So now Satyajit felt really bad because he had started this rumor. And he had promised the hand of his daughter to many kings, including Akura and others. So there were many big kshatriyas who were thinking that they were going to get the hand of Satyabhama, who was so beautiful. But Satyajit decided that I should give my daughter to Krishna as his wife, so she did that, Satyabhama. And Satyabhama became an extraordinary wife. She was the most demanding wife of Lord Krishna. Her demands were extraordinary. And, for example, when she found out, when her spies notified her that Rukmini had been given a parijata flower by Krishna or Narad Muni or a combination of both, she was so distraught, she couldn't have any peace. And as princesses or queens do, queens, they have a room for, what's it called? Sulking. They have a sulking room. She went to the sulking room and just wore a white cloth, lied on the floor without any bangles strewn everywhere, simply crying. And when the queen, when the king finds out that his wife is in the sulking room, he has to go and pacify her somehow. Krishna is expert at pacifying, so he went there. It's a whole story in Hari Vamshad describes. He assumed an extraordinary fragrance, and she was very pleased. Anyway, he asked her, what's wrong? And she said, please give me permission to fast till death. And he said, why? And she said, I thought that I was your favorite queen. Now I can see that this was all just empty words. She criticized him like the gopis criticize him. All choice words. What kind of a rogue he was for misleading her. And he tried everything to pacify her. But she says, I can't, as a wife, I can't execute any performance without your permission. It won't be fruitful, nor would it be religious. So, although she was very demanding, she was completely in line with the scriptures, and she wouldn't do anything without Krishna's permission. So, of course, Krishna wouldn't give her permission to fast till death. But then he came up with an idea. He said, would you be satisfied if you got a parijata flower and or even a tree? And she said, yes, I would be. Then she immediately became just like a child. If a child's crying and then you give the child something it wants and it smiles immediately within 1 second. So she changed. She became completely bright and happy. So Krishna had been approached by Indra, king of heaven. And there was a complaint about Bhaumasura. Bhaumasura had stolen the earrings of Aditi, mother of the demigods. Other things also, he stole the bow, Sharanga. So they knew that only Krishna could get them back, so they requested him. So he took the opportunity. Anyway, it's a long story, but basically Krishna took Satyabhama on Garuda's back. They went for the adventure of killing Bhaumasura, rescuing all the earrings of Aditi and other things, giving them back to Indra. But Indra wouldn't agree to part with the parijata. And they had some nice discussion, which turned quite fierce, where they were threatening each other. And then a big battle took place. Krishna won the battle, and he took the parijata tree by force for his wife. So she was satisfied. So although she was demanding, and it almost seemed as though unreasonably so, Krishna was pleased by her devotion. Krishna recognized her devotion as being extraordinary. So he would do anything for her. He said, it should be noted that in this connection, even all the demigods tried to make me break my vow, but no one can make me break my vow to my wife. Okay, so that's the story of Satyabhama and Satyajit, who is now incarnating as Kashinath. Please continue.
Sri Rudraram Pandit constructed a big temple at Vallabhapur, which is 1 mile north of Mahesh, and the deity's name Radha Vallabha. The descendants of his brother, Yadunanda Bandyopadhyaya, are known as Chakravarti Thakurs, and they are in charge of the maintenance of this temple as Sevaks.
The book Gaura Ganodesh, Ganodesha Deepika was written by Kavi Karnapur, who's a pure devotee of the Lord. He wasn't just speculating who these persons were, but by transcendental realization he was revealed to him who they were. So we take it, the acharyas take it as authoritative when they say that this devotee was such and such in Krishna's Leela, etc., etc. Continue.
The descendants of his brother, Yadunandan Vanjiro, formerly the Jagannath deity used to come to the temple of Radha Vallabha from Mahesh during the Ratha Yatra festival, but in the Bengali year 1262, A.D. 1855, due to a misunderstanding between the priests of the two temples, the Jagannath deity stopped coming.
Okay, I'll read the next text. Srinatha Pandita Prabhura Kripala Bhajana Yana Krishna Seva Deki Vashatri Bhuvana. Srinath, there'll be more reading. Srinath Pandit, the 49th branch, was the beloved recipient of all the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone in the three worlds was astonished to see how he worshipped Lord Krishna. Purport.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anupasya, about 1.5 miles away from Kumarahatta, or Kamahatta, which is a few miles from Calcutta, is a village known as Panchadharaga, which was the home of Sri Shivananda Sen. There he constructed the temple of Sri Gaur Gopal. Another temple was established there with Sri Radha Krishna Murtis by Srinath Pandit. The deity of that temple is named Sri Krishna Roy. The temple of Krishna Roy, which was constructed in the year 1708 Shatabda, A.D. 1786, by a prominent zamindar named Nimai Malik of Paturia Ghatta in Calcutta, is very large. There is a big courtyard in front of the temple, and there are residential quarters for visitors and good arrangements for cooking prasadam. The entire courtyard is surrounded by very high boundary walls, and the temple is almost as big as the Mahesh temple. Inscribed on a tablet are the names of Srinath Pandit and his father and grandfather, and the date of construction of the temple. Srinath Pandit, one of the disciples of Advaita Prabhu, was the spiritual master of the third son of Shivananda Sen, who was known as Paramananda Kavi Karnapur.
The disciplic succession can be carried on sometimes by sons or disciples. It's even described that one can get a son by the biological method or by sacrifice. Sometimes a king who couldn't get a son would go to some rishis, brahmanas, and ask them to perform a sacrifice on his behalf, and then through that sacrifice he would get a child. Sometimes the child would come out of the fire, or sometimes they would imbue some sweet rice with special mantra, and then the wife would take the sweet rice, and then she would be able to beget a child. And the third way is by diksha. The diksha is considered also a son in the line. So this Srinath Pandit was a descendant in the line of Advaita Prabhu by initiation. Continue.
It is said that the Krishna Roy deity was installed during the time of Kavi Karnapur. According to hearsay, Virabhadra Prabhu, the son of Nityananda Prabhu, brought a big stone from Murshidabad, from which three deities were carved, namely the Radha Balabha Vigraha of Balabhapur, the Shama Sunda Vigraha of Kadadaha, and the Sri Krishna Roy Vigraha of Kanchadapada. The home of Shivananda Sen was situated on the bank of the Ganges near an almost ruined temple. It is said that the same Nimai Malik of Calcutta saw this broken down temple of Krishna Roy while he was going to Benares, and thereafter constructed the present temple.
We'll go on to the next text. Jagannatha Chaya Prabhura Priyadas Prabhura Agyate Tenho Koila Gangavas. Jagannath Acharya, the 50th branch of the Chaitanya tree, was an extremely dear servant of the Lord, by whose order he decided to live on the bank of the Ganges. Purport.
Jagannath Acharya is stated in the Gauragana Deshtipika 111 to have formerly been Durvasa of Nidhuvan.
Someone know where Nidhuvan is? This is Durvasa Muni. We'll continue. Krishna Dasa Vaidyana Pandita Shekara Kavichandra Ara Kirtaniya Shastiva. The 51st branch of the Chaitanya tree was Krishna Das Vaidya, 52nd was Pandita Shekara, 53rd was Kavi Chandra, and the 54th was Shastivara, who was a great Sankirtan performer. Purport.
In the Gauragana Deshtipika 171, it is mentioned that Srinath Mishra was Chitrangi and that Kavi Chandra was Manohara Gopi.
So sometimes the question comes up that these associates of Lord Chaitanya were all great personalities. They exhibited so much love for Krishna. So what about us? We're not from that line. We're not associates of Krishna, coming as part of our lila, as part of Lord Chaitanya's lila, or what chance is there of us? Or, but the chance is there, and by hearing about Krishna's pastimes with his associates, or Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes with his associates, and the loving exchange that they enjoy, we become purified. So by getting their association through hearing and remembering their wonderful pastimes, we make advancement. And by their mercy, it's not, one cannot become a pure devotee by his own efforts alone. Certainly he has to make efforts, but he has to get the mercy of the, he has to take the dust from the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas and smear it on his body. That's the only way that one can get the mercy of Krishna. So these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya with his associates, they're another of the inconceivable transcendental pastimes of the Lord for saving the fallen souls in Kali Yuga. When the Lord comes, or when the king comes someplace, he doesn't come alone. So when the Lord comes, he brings his associates. It's like when Krishna came, he brought so many of his eternal associates. Not only that, but many others got a chance to come and participate in Krishna's pastimes. Some of the queens of the demigods got to come and become his consorts, got to become his gopis or queens, wives. So many, even sages at the time of Lord Ramachandra wanted to have Krishna as, or Lord Ramachandra as a consort, but he gave them the blessing that they could come when he appeared as Krishna. So there's so many things accomplished when the Supreme Lord comes. He fulfills the desires of the devotees. He reestablishes the principles of religion. He annihilates the miscreants. He has a nice excursion. He enjoys himself. So many wonderful things. We can't. It's described that the Lord wanted to taste. The primary reason for the Lord's coming was he wanted to taste the ecstasy that Srimati Radharani was experiencing in her love for Krishna. So in order to do that, he has the inconceivable potency to be able to take her mood and her complexion and appear as a devotee. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nayanya. So he's Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And at the same time, the time had appeared for the incarnation, the Yuga avatar, to appear in Kali Yuga to give the process for self-realization in this age. So Lord Chaitanya fulfilled both of these purposes. And we shouldn't speculate too much about whether it's possible for us to become Krishna conscious or not. Lord Chaitanya wants it. The Acharyas have indicated that we should try for it. And so we should just do our best and depend on Krishna. Depend on Lord Chaitanya to bestow their blessings upon us. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tatagaro tasya te katita yarta prakashante mahatmana. One who has implicit faith in both Guru and Krishna, to such a person all the imports of the Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. So Krishna has ordered that we should surrender sarva dharman, give up all varieties of occupations and just surrender to him, serve him. So a devotee doesn't so much calculate that I'll serve if I can go back to Godhead in one lifetime. There was a story of that Brahmana who was quite confident that he was going back to Godhead in one lifetime. And when Narada informed him that he had been to Vaikuntha, and Narayan said that he would have to stay, that Brahmana would have to stay and take birth many times, he became very upset. And he even accused Narad Muni of fabricating the story. Because he, in other words, he was attached. But a devotee, a pure devotee, is Ashli Shiva Padaratam Panastamam Adarshanam Marmahatam Karotava Yatatata Vavidadatu Lampato Matana Natas Tu Sevanapad. Oh no, Mama Janmani, excuse me, different verse. Mama Janmani Janmani Shvare Bhavatad Bhakti Rahu Tukitai. He says, Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not interested in wealth or beautiful women or followers, but I just want devotional service in my life, birth after birth. So, because this is our natural position, it's not that once we do devotional service well, then we graduate and then we become enjoyers in heaven. It's not like that. It's not like we undergo some austerities and then and we just become enjoyers of the material energy. But service to Krishna is our natural constitutional position, Jivara Swarupoi Nichara Krishna Das. It's the eternal position of the devotee, it's his natural state. Any other state, trying to enjoy the material energy, is criminal. So we should give up that thought, give up that idea that after I get the benediction from the Lord, then I'll just have servants doing everything for me and I'll be able to enjoy my senses. But the service goes on eternally. And we shouldn't think that that service is a drudgery, because we learn that the service brings love of Godhead, and in the stages, the higher stages of bhakti, it becomes ecstatic. Bhava, the bhava stages means ecstasy. So a devotee in the bhava stages, just like these devotees have exhibited the bhava ecstasies, tears flowing from the eyes like torrents of rain, hair standing on end, colors of the body changing. There's different ecstasies. Ecstasy means ecstasy. It means total, complete bliss. We haven't experienced anything like that in this material world. We use the word bliss and ecstasy, but we don't actually know what it is. It has to be completely spiritual experience. How could it just be something material? They think ecstasy is sex life. But then the dogs and the hogs and the pigeons are the most ecstatic people then, because they're expert at engaging in sex life more than we are. So that's not ecstasy, just some bodily fluids being exchanged. But ecstasy is a completely spiritual experience between the devotee and Krishna. Continue, please. Which one are we on now?
55th branch, was this the translation?
Yes.
The 55th branch was Srinath Mishra. The 56th was Shubhananda. The 57th was Sri Ram. The 58th was Ishan. The 59th was Sri Nidhi. The 60th was Sri Gopi Kanta. And the 61st with Mishra Bhagavan.
We become purified just by hearing these names, even if we're not familiar with them so much. The names themselves give us purification, and we can become pure devotees just by sitting here and hearing the names. Sri Krishna Das, or Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he made a comparison, and he said, if all the books in the world were destroyed by two, Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, there'd be no loss. And he said, and if there was only one book, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, if that one were left, still there'd be no loss, because it includes Bhagavatam, so many things. So Prabhupada described Chaitanya Charitamrita as the postgraduate study of Vaishnav philosophy. And in our educational system, we have the Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, and the Bhakti Sarvabhauma is study of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there's nothing extraneous here, there's nothing unimportant. And just by hearing it, we make advancement. And Prabhupada said, one who passes the Bhakti Sarvabhauma and gets that title after studying Chaitanya Charitamrita, then he's honored as a professor of Vaishnava philosophy. Continue.
Shubhananda, before he lived in Vrindavan as Malati, was one of the Kirtan performers who danced in front of the Rathayatra car during the Jagannath festival. It is said that he ate the foam that came out of the mouth of the Lord while he danced before the Rathayatra car. Ishan was the personal servant of Srimati Sachi Devi, who showered her great mercy upon him. He was also very dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Text 111.
Translation. The 62nd branch of the tree was Subhuti Mishra. The 63rd was Hridayananda. The 64th was Kamala Nayana. The 65th was Mahesh Pandit. The 66th was Srikar. And the 67th was Sri Madhusudan.
Purport.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anupasya, Subhuti Mishra was formerly Gunachuda in Vrindavan, who was, formerly, installed the Gauranityananda deities in a temple in the village known as Belagar, which is about 3 miles away from Srikanda. His present descendant is known as Govinda Chandra Goswami.
Anyone make any comments on these places or any of these? Belagar. Continue, next text.
Translation. The 68th branch of the original tree was Purushottam. The 69th was Sri Galin. The 70th was Jagannath Das. The 71st was Sri Chandrasekhar Vaidya. And the 72nd was Dwija Haridas.
Purport.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anupasya, quote, there is some question about whether Dwija Haridas was the author of Ashtotara Shataknam. He had two sons named Sridhar and Gokulananda, who were disciples of Srinivas Acharya. Their village, Kanchanagadiya, is situated within 5 miles of the Bajarasol station, the fifth station from Ajimaganja in the district of Murshidabad in West Bengal.
Text 113.
Translation. The 73rd branch of the original tree was Ramdas. The 74th was Kavi Chandra. The 75th was Sri Gopal Das. The 76th was Bhagavat Acharya, and the 77th was Thakur Sharanga Das.
Purport.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya, in the Gaura Ganadeshtipika 203, it is said, Bhagavat Acharya compiled a book entitled Krishna Prem Tarangini, and he was the most beloved devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Varahanagara, now a suburb of Calcutta, he stayed in the house of a most fortunate Brahmin who was a very learned scholar in Bhagavad literature. As soon as this Brahmin saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he began to read Srimad Bhagavatam. When Mahaprabhu heard his explanation, which expounded Bhakti Yoga, he immediately became unconscious in ecstasy. Lord Chaitanya later said, I have never heard such a nice explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam. I therefore designate you Bhagavat Acharya. Your only duty is to recite Srimad Bhagavatam. That is my injunction. His real name was Raghunath. His monastery, which is situated in Varahanagara, about 3.5 miles north of Calcutta, on the bank of the Ganges, still exists, and it is managed by the initiated disciples of the late Sri Ramdas Babaji. Presently, however, it is not as well managed as in the presence of Babaji Maharaj. Another name of Thakur Sharanga Das was Shangra Thakur. Sometimes he was also called Shangrapani or Shangadara. He was a resident of Navadvip in the neighborhood known as Modadrum Dweep, and he used to worship the Supreme Lord in a secluded place on the bank of the Ganges. He was not accepting disciples, but he was repeatedly being inspired from within by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to do so. Thus, one morning he decided, whomever I see, I shall make my disciple. When he went to the bank of the Ganges to take his bath, by chance he saw a dead body floating in the water, and he touched it with his feet. This immediately brought the body to life, and Thakur Sharanga Das accepted him as his disciple. This disciple later became famous as Thakur Murari, and his name is always associated with that of Sri Sharanga. His disciplic succession still inhabits the village of Shah. There is a temple at Mamagachi that is said to have been started by Saranga Thakur. Not long ago, a new temple building was erected in the form of a buckle tree there, and it is now being managed by the members of the Gaudiya Math. It is said that the management of the temple is now far better than before. In the Gaura Ganadeshtipika 172, it is stated that Saranga Thakur was formerly a gopi named Nandi Mukhi. Some devotees say that he was formerly Prahlad Maharaj, but Sri Kavi Karmapur says that his father, Shivananda Sen, does not accept this proposition.
Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.